The 22nd head coach at Michigan Tech, Joe Schott.
8.5 remaining. They are up by 2 on an empty net goal, and the Huskies are going crazy on the Michigan Tech bench right now. Bring it in front, out, and score! Right in between the hash marks. Huskies win it back. Siak in front, here's a score!
Go Huskies.
This is the Joe Schott Hour on the home of the Huskies, Mix 93 WKMJ. Brought to you by Pisani Company Distributing, Edward Jones Financial Advisor John Nelson in Houghton, the Turbo Agency in Hancock, Coca-Cola of Hancock, the Michigan Tech Campus Bookstore and University Images, Bucko's Party Store in Calumet, and Peterlin Distributing of Calumet. Now with the head coach of the Michigan Tech Hockey Huskies, Joe Schott, here is your host, Dirk Hembroff.
All right, I guess that's me. Thank you very much, Josh. Appreciate it. And, let's get to the Joe Schott Hour. And for the second time this season, we're in between games of a series. The Michigan Tech Huskies end up playing Northern Michigan on Saturday, and we'll play them again this afternoon at 5:07. We'll have the action for you here on Mix 93. And head coach Joe Schott is with us because it's the Joe Schott Hour. It's his own hour, and we save it just for him. Good morning, Coach. Congratulations on the win on Saturday.
Good morning, Dirk. Thanks. And you're a little bit in and out on me. I'm not sure what's going on, but I can hear you, I think, well enough to get through this.
Okay, hopefully we can get that fixed.
Well, that's better. That's
okay,
better.
Good. Well, Coach, it was a big win on Saturday. Things are very strange, obviously. Getting ready to play Lake State University, and their testing not going the way that they were hoping for. And so we were able to pick up Northern Michigan, who also was without an opponent because of Alabama Huntsville having testing issues as well. So it worked out good, and we got a game one in and game two coming in here. But I thought even though it wasn't a perfect game, coming off a long time without playing, there were a lot of good things in that game.
Yeah, I thought the guys battled hard, and what was the most encouraging is how we played the last 10 minutes of the game. I thought we came out pretty good. We started the game a decent first period. And then I thought the second period got away from us a little bit. As happens, as we saw, it happened early in the year with us. It happens to us at times, especially coming off of breaks and things. And then the third period, the first 10 minutes, I thought Northern gave a good push. But the last 10, I thought we were very good throughout the lineup. I thought everybody contributed. We did a good job. We didn't give up much. I think only 3 shots in the last 10 minutes. So, I thought we did a pretty good job. They got 15 total in the period, so that tells you how the first half of the period went, but then I thought we did a really good job when we needed to.
Yeah, and again, good goaltending. We were without the services of Blake Pietola, but Mark Sinclair, boy, did he look sharp in that game.
Yeah, it's such a great, great young man. I can't, you know, our whole team is like that. We have a great group of guys, hardworking, I think we look at them. I look at them as more, you know, more as a parent, I think, because I want so much for them, and the differences that we have, that I have with the players at times, where I think that they're capable of so much more, and that's how we all are with our kids, where you have so much talent, you have so much this, you have so much that. I wish you'd just lay it all out there on the line and do it all the time. And you know, if that's the major portion of our issues with this hockey team, you know, I can live with that. We'll still push them as a parent would, but I enjoy being around this group. Mark stepped in, gave us a great effort, says very little. It's hard to get a conversation out of him. He's so respectful, so quiet, as are many of our guys. But he sure gave us a big effort. He was very loud in the net, I thought.
Was there one or two lines out of the four that we have, Coach, that you were most impressed with throughout the game? I thought a couple of them looked really good.
No, I don't think so. I think, and honestly, I think that all the lines and all the D have room to grow based on what we want to do. I don't think any line dominated. I don't think any line was extremely crisp. Any combination with defensive pairings on breakouts. I don't think any line was extremely efficient in neutral zone. Although I will say that the best part of our game, I thought, was our neutral zone defense. Our reads were good. We didn't give up a ton of opportunity. The rush offense, which is a strength of Northern Michigan, the rush offense that we gave up was often where it was down to individual and then the individual getting beat versus us not having our cover. I thought our box outs were pretty good in the D zone for the most part. We just fought the puck a little bit at times. So I would say no, I think that there's room to grow on all the lines, but they were certainly good enough to get a 2-0 win.
Well, our first goal of the evening, the final score, by the way, 2-0, another shutout for Michigan Tech, and second one of the season as a Husky, too, for Mark St. Clair. But the first goal, Eric Oates.
Being watched carefully there. Mike Lee got towards the pass for the point. Back to the point for Goat. Scores! Over the point, a quick wrist shot by Goats. He didn't hang on to that one very long, and I think that worked well for him, and the Huskies take a 1-0 lead.
Well, what is it right now about Eric Goats? Coach, he has three goals going into the weekend. Three goals now. All three of them are on the power play. All three of them, I think, for the most part, are very similar. Is he doing something different as far as keeping his head up, looking for a certain look in front of the goaltender that's helping those pucks get through?
Well, I think your call of the play was spot on. He didn't hang on to the puck very long. It was actually a slot play, a give-and-go slot play type of situation where Arvid was trying to feed Botts in the slot. And the puck skipped through, and Gauthier, he was backing up the play well, and it was on his stick. And, you know, how quickly it happened, the goaltender is probably looking to see if that puck is somewhere in the pile where Botts was. But he was covered, puck was deflected, it popped over the stick, and the goaltender wasn't able to pick it up and find it right away. And by the time he did find it, it was in the back of the net, so he was pulling it out. So it was probably what you said. If Gauthier would have, you know, did some dribbling with the puck and then shot as a last resort, the goaltender probably would have got a better beat on it and Kent, the goaltender for Northern. But that's not what happened. It was a shot that Gauthier fired before the goaltender could see it.
Goats with his third of the season. Again, all three of his goals on the power play. And Arvid Kataroth and Jay Crespi get the assists. The time of that goal on the power play was 3 minutes into the first period. And shots in the first period, 12-5 in favor of Michigan Tech. We go to the second period, 12-11 in favor of Northern Michigan. And as you mentioned earlier, Coach, 15-8 Northern Michigan over us in shots in that third period. 32-31 were the final. But Tristan Ashbrook gets a big goal for the Michigan Tech Huskies. Big for him, but big for the team to score when he did after the Huskies got that first one at the three-minute mark. Way back in the first period, he scores at the 13:06 mark.
Huskies will break it up. Here comes Ashbrook now. Two-on-one developing. Ashbrook across the line. Shoot! Scores! There he is! One of the newest Huskies with his first goal. Husky buries it and gives the Huskies a big 2-0 lead with 6:54 left in the third.
So Ashbrook gets the goal. Coach, was it Logan Pietola breaking to the net on that what was somewhat of a 2-on-1?
I believe it was Blaze Richards.
Okay.
I think Blaze was driving on the weak side, and what that allowed Tristan to do is to narrow the ice. He didn't shoot it from outside the dots. He was able to narrow, get the puck inside the dots. The goaltender, when you're watching on video, you know, it's at the angle on the video where it's, you know, right down below you. So it's, you know, right in line with the bench, and you can in some ways see, especially on video, see that the goaltender had a very good angle. Tristan made a great shot, quick release off the post and in. He's a goal scorer. He had to shoot across the goaltender's body, right hand shot, shooting across, coming from the right side to the goaltender's left, and made a great shot. But it was a couple of things on that play. It was Brett Thorne winning a loose puck battle off the faceoff in our zone, getting inside his cover and making the play. Tristan filling in for the pass, for the breakout pass, and Blaze getting up on ice and driving the defenders back and allowing Tristan to narrow the ice. And then a goal scorer, which Tristan is, made a goal scorer shot and finished the play for us.
And, you know, a great, in my opinion, a great goal for junior hockey coaches and junior hockey kids to really learn a lesson from, and even high school or whatever, any level, I guess, but how important it is to drive to the net, because it's really, it's hard to calculate how important Blaze Richards going to the net actually helped out on that goal. But without a doubt, you know, the defenseman and the goaltender knows that he's there, right?
That's a great point, because it keeps the goaltender back. If Blaze doesn't do that and try to get behind the defender was trying to gap. He was trying to keep tight as he could up on the play on his vertical gap on while staying in the middle of the pass lane. And that's what his job is to stay in the pass lane. So, by Blaze driving the defender back, it also keeps the goaltender tighter to the net, because he has to be able to cover as a goaltender. The main rule is be out as far as you possibly can with the ability to get to any backdoor opportunities. And so with Blaze driving, the goaltender wasn't able to stay out as far as he would probably have liked to have stayed out. And because he had to go back, he had to make sure that he could cover that backdoor pass if the pass was made, especially with Tristan being a right-hand shot. So good point on it. Your call on these goals were great. Your analysis of them is great. You're right on. You could be a coach.
Oh, all right. And so, you know, we were talking about this a little bit on the air, Coach, and, you know, you look at the roster, you look at the lineup on Saturday, and knowing that Paratino, knowing that Bliss, and knowing that Blake Pietila weren't going to be allowed to play, and yet, you know, you expect, once you see the lineup right in front of you, to see all these, you know, names that just don't seem to fit in. But because of what you and the coaching staff have been able to do in games leading up to this problem that we had, you know, these guys have been in the lineup already and didn't seem like such a foreign lineup. And I thought that's how it kind of played out on the ice.
Yeah, it was good to see our guys perform. You know, there's competition. That's uncomfortable for the players. That's uncomfortable for the staff. The competition we have, we picked up a couple players, Tristan being one, Ryland Mosley being another. We picked up some players that have added to our numbers. Our guys are handling it well, as well as can be expected. Everybody wants to play, but there's limited ice time available, and it's making, you know, yesterday when we're putting up our travel lineup for today, we're watching a lot of video. We're filming every practice. We're filming every drill. We're going through everything with the guys and looking for similarities. We're trying to figure in big ice, small ice, different scenarios on who may give us the best. And the players are competing hard. They're doing everything they can to get in the lineup, and that drives you getting better. And again, growth comes from getting outside of our comfort levels, and being outside our comfort levels isn't comfortable. It's not easy. It's not always fun. It makes for a better hockey team. It makes for a better product on the ice from what the fans see. But there is a lot of emotion, a lot of love, a lot of hard, tough coaching and communication with players that goes into it. We've been doing that leading up to this, as you pointed out, by getting some players in. They're earning it. We're not giving anybody the lineup, but we are trying to, with that in mind, make sure that we're developing as much of our roster as we can so that we're prepared for the things that could happen at this time and the things that are, you know, that loom critical on the horizon that could cause us a detriment, and that paid off. It's good to get a 2-0 win, a shutout win, with some very good players not in the lineup.
Absolutely. All right, we'll take a break. I don't know that we're going to go the whole hour here today for a couple of reasons. It'll help me out. It'll probably help Coach out too, but we'll see where we are. We do have some questions, Coach, and I have a couple other questions of my own. We'll talk about that stuff when we come back. It's the Joe Schaan Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ.
The Michigan Tech Campus Store and University Images, your go-to locations for officially licensed Michigan Tech apparel and souvenirs. Visit us at bookstore.mtu.edu for our store hours, as well as safe, quick, and easy shopping. Curbside pickup is available at University Images at the Student Development Complex. Order online, at checkout choose in-store pickup, and we'll contact you when your order is ready. Gift card options are available. Shop local, support local. We thank you for your patronage.
This is pop music, mixed by one DJ and one can of truly hard seltzer. Truly. With just 1 gram of sugar and 16 flavors, it's music to your taste buds. No cans were harmed in the making of this ad. Except that one. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Mass. Please drink responsibly.
Hindsight is 2020. 2020 was a brutal year with a lot we couldn't control. Pandemic, economy, unemployment. What can we control? Our job, our career. Don't look back with 2020 hindsight next year and see yourself in that 2020 job. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation. You could start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. Live online classes meet just twice a week. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
Sam's new project needs a project manager right away if she's going to manage to hit her deadline.
It took an extra week to get approvals, but they still want the original delivery date. I guess we'll figure something out.
It's time to hire.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. The moment you sponsor a job on Indeed, you get a short list of quality candidates from our resume database. Indeed delivers 2.5 times more hires than the other branded job sites combined, according to Breezy HR 2019. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get a $75 credit for your first job post. Terms and conditions apply.
Joe Schoenauer continuing here on Mix 93 WKMJ. The Huskies with a big game tonight. Today, I guess you could say, 5:07 drop of the puck, 4:30 or thereabouts. We'll be on with our pregame on Mix 93, taking on the Northern Michigan Wildcats down at the Berry Event Center. And the Huskies riding a 6-game winning streak right now. Coach, let's get to, I wanted to ask you about the Red Wings and about the Packers and the games that went on in football yesterday, too. But let's get to some of the questions here from our listeners here on the Joe Schoen Hour. And the first one we have for you, Coach, during the broadcast of some of the games, this listener occasionally hears of a shot block mentioned, but in reading the shot count in the stats, he sees a team category called blocked shots. What are your players taught about blocking shots in light of letting the goaltender have a clear look at the incoming shot? And who do you consider to be your shutdown defenseman for cleaning up in front of the net?
I don't know if we have anybody that we would say differentiates themselves as being maybe Leiper would be the top that we would have as far as that box out technique and then puck retrieval, because that's such a part of it. It's not just boxing out your man or keeping your opposition from being able to get a stick on it or a rebound or something, but it's also in positioning yourself to be the one that comes up with the puck as well. So our biggest thing is keep guys away from the view of the goaltender whenever possible, and so often that is not letting them players will just kind of drift and let their cover move in front of them and cross in front of the goaltender and things like that. And when we reference box out and things like that, part of what we teach and what we want to do is not even let the player get inside. So if you're in the corner with a guy, if you're at the hash marks with a guy or whatever, keep him to the outside. And what he'll end up doing is either going below you, which is out of the play, or way above you if you're staying with him, staying inside him, which keeps him out of the line of the goaltender. Once he's got the line of the goaltender, that's when the shot blocking comes into play, where you get in the shooting lane and you're trying to block shots. And now there's two different sides to that. The guy on the puck should always be in a position to try to block it. Like a defender going out on point coverage should be going out in the shooting lane so that he's in position to block. And there are some techniques, different philosophies on that. Do you want guys to go down and on one knee and get sideways, which makes them bigger, but obstructs the goaltender's view a little bit more? What we want is we want quick pressure and as hard a pressure as you can get. So don't coast out. Go out as quick as you can, because that eliminates the options for the opposition by eliminating time and space. So there's quite a few things to it. The other part of that comment or the question was they see shot blocking as a team characteristic, but there are individual stats taken for shot blocking, and we have some. Eric Goat seems to block a lot of shots. We have some that block more shots than others, get in front of more shots than others. So there is an individual stat to that. But you're right, there often it's a team stat overall. But that team stat comes from somewhere, and it comes from individual stats.
Coach, do some of those NHL players, those, I remember back in the day, some of those defensemen had those wings, kind of like wings on their shin pads that would actually stick out to make their pads a little wider.
Yeah, Craig Ludwig.
Yeah, Craig Ludwig wore those. Yeah.
Yeah.
Are those still out there?
I remember back in the day when I used to go watch Lake State play, they had a guy named Lee, a defenseman by the name of Lee. I mean, these guys wore these little skimpy helmets and those old, I think they're old Cooper helmets. And then, and they'd lay down in front of shots. They're taking shots in a defenseman from a guy shooting the puck 20 feet away from him. And crazy, just crazy how the game was. Now players are so much more equipped and many don't. You'll hear people on the teams on the bench when a guy blocks a shot clapping and banging their sticks and stuff to try to encourage it now as a badge of honor. Back in the day, if you didn't block a shot, you were viewed as, we'll just say, not a courageous athlete. So things have changed a little bit for sure.
Well, Coach, were you ever afraid in the net as far as getting hurt with a puck? Was there anybody that you played against that, because obviously, you had pretty good equipment back in, even when you played, but it wasn't as good as it is today. Was there anybody out there that you're like, oh man, this guy really has a heavy shot?
Well, there are guys with heavy shots. I don't think if you're afraid when you're in the net, that's going to create all kinds of problems. But there were certain guys that had heavy shots for sure that you were aware of them. Absolutely. I remember when I was not on Lake State, but I was practicing with Lake State my senior year because they had a goaltender quit, which is nowadays would be definitely a violation. But they had a big guy by the name of George Baker that had a harder snapshot, like a little pull snapshot, than anybody on that team or that I had ever faced than their slap shots. And, that was heavy. That was on you quick. But, it's kind of like batting, getting in the batting cage, in baseball and tilting the thing up to about 95 just to see what a major league pitcher's seeing. And I mean, it's just a whiz. So when, there's a point where you're just relying on your positioning to get you through on that. But, if you're afraid of it, you're going to flinch and that tenseness in the goal is what you're trying to get out of your positioning. Anytime you tense up in order to move, you have to relax the tense muscles. So the looser you can stay in that net, the better off you are.
Coach, I know you received the same email that I did from a Michigan Tech grad from Alaska, Matt Wertinen, who sent a nice message to you guys.
It was a great email. It was pictures. He was coaching in a tournament, an outdoor tournament on that rink. If you recall, we practiced on outside of the Sullivan Center in Anchorage, and it was a tournament to save, promoting the saving and probably funds going to the saving of the Alaska hockey program. So he was coaching a team in that tournament. He has boys that we had met when we were up there before. We met, anyways, it was a great email about, I follow you guys, keep it up. I hope we can see you again. I hope we can save this program. We'll get a chance to see you play. But if not, we tune in, we watch you on, on Flow Hockey and things like that. It was just tremendous. Email from an alumni who's at every one of our games when we go up to Alaska to play and makes us feel like we're home.
And Coach, I got another email from abroad that was sent over. It says, hi Dirk, this is Andy Seltz from Zenica, Bosnia. As a longtime Husky fan from Minnesota, I was worried that I couldn't catch the games on the radio when we moved here. But the radio quality is excellent, and my wife is from this town. She says, He says, when I retired last November, we came here to enjoy life. And he said, tell Coach Sean that Husky hockey is appreciated all over the world. And thanks you and your coaching staff for everything that you do. And sent a bunch of pictures, too.
I really enjoy getting those emails because the one thing I say often is that my history, I do have an understanding and maybe better than a lot from the outside of Michigan Tech hockey because of the connections I had to the Houghton area before, to the Keweenaw Peninsula before, and the friendships and the time that I spent over here, and with the Sioux connection, it being a branch of the college I played at and things was part of Michigan Tech. So Michigan Tech was the university. Northern, when I was growing up, had no hockey. So the Upper Peninsula was Michigan Tech hockey. Lake State was NAIA. So I do have an understanding, but the people that I meet and learning as I learn more and more and more about the history and how everything is entwined and everybody's so part of it. It's not, the hockey team is not separate. And I've said this so often, when I, at Lake Superior, there's a disconnect. It got a little bit better when Jeff was there and with the national titles and things like that. But the university was always, they call it Harvard on the Hill. It was always separate in a lot of ways from the mainstream of the community. And it's not like that here at all. Like Michigan Tech, over 100 years of hockey, of I believe basketball now too, right? Am I right? They're going to be celebrating their 100 year anniversary as well. But it's so entwined in the community. Homecoming, Winter Carnival is a community endeavor, not just a university endeavor. Every time I get these, I emails and things, and you know, I and meeting people, I enjoy it more than people realize. So people should never feel that they not to come up and talk and share stories about when players used to come to their houses for barbecues and things like that. I enjoy hearing them because a lot of those players I've known or have gotten to know. So the stories are, and I share them with them when I talk to them, that I met somebody that shared this story, and they always remember it as well.
All right, very good, Coach. Stay put there. We'll have more questions for you when we come back. It's the Joe Schonauer here on Mix 93. Back with more after this.
This is Bob Franti of the Turvo Agency in Hancock. If something were to happen to you today, would your family be left with a financial burden to cover your debts and final expenses? Would they be able to maintain their same lifestyle without you? No matter your age and situation, there is an auto owner's life insurance policy to meet your unique needs, and an auto owner's life policy is likely more affordable than you think. Stop in at the Turvo Agency in Hancock and see how a life insurance policy from auto owners can provide the protection your family needs and deserves. Think life.
Today tastes like movie night.
Okay, whose turn is it to choose?
And everyone's favorite hit, pizza and Coke. It tastes like a passionate debate. And settling for a classic.
Okay, pepperoni then.
Today tastes like front row seats for all. Like cushions and popcorn. And counting the seconds.
Pizza's here.
Today tastes like a slice of the action.
Hey, hit the light.
Like we belong here and now. And it never tasted this good. Coca-Cola. Together tastes better.
Don't forget, no family movie night is complete without a big comfy couch, your favorite pizza, and some delicious ice-cold Coke. Nothing tastes like everyone you love and everything you like coming together. Coca-Cola, together, tastes better.
Bucko's Party Store in Calumet is ready to kick 2020 to the curb and ride in 2021 with some great deals store-wide. All 2 liters are 2 for only $3. Pepsi 12 packs of cans are 2 for $10. Check out the deals on 6 packs of 16-ounce canned beer. Bucko's has an excellent selection of jerky and sausage products along with Skinny Pete's bakery goods in the food department. Stay warm with Q&L pack of gear and don't forget to pick up your snowmobile trail stickers, ice fishing licenses, and bait. Save your bucks at Bucko's. All sales do not include tax and deposit.
Back to your questions here on the Joe Schon Hour, here on Mix 93 WKMJ. Coach, next question for you. What do you think is the secret that separates an average coach from an above-average coach? This listener says, Mel and you both succeeded at Michigan Tech. Other coaches did not. Why?
Well, I don't... Everybody... I know the coaches, many of the coaches that have been here. They're tremendous coaches. So when someone finds out the secret, let me know, because I certainly don't know any secret. We're just working at it every day to do the best we possibly can.
What about this listener? Coach says Mosley, is he on campus right now?
He is, and he's been impressive. He actually came at a great time. We were shut down. He had to quarantine when he got here. We were already in quarantine when he got here, so he's in class. He's impressive. I like what I see out of him. We don't want to rush him. We want him to be able to succeed when he gets in the lineup. So I'm looking right now possibly, I mean, it could happen at any time, possibly at Huntsville. But he's here. He looks good. As we talked about before, I'm under the approach now that I'm going backwards a little bit every time we face these shutdowns, whether it be a break or whatever it is. We're going backwards and getting back to basics and using that kind of as a mini training camp to get back to basics. And he was able to be here for that. So all the video sessions, all the on ice sessions and things like that are based on how we do things and they're not, you know, moving ahead type of things. So he's able to learn them while the team is restructuring. So it's been a good environment so far. I like him a lot. He's going to be a tremendous player. There's really nothing about him right now that I'm not impressed with.
Coach, I wanted to get your thoughts on the Red Wings. I know you watched the Wings closely, and your friend Jeff. You know, what are your thoughts on the weekend? A couple of losses against Chicago, and do you see still, even though you know they're not dominating anybody, do you still see some baby steps being taken in the right direction with the Red Wings?
I thought the first game, I really felt for Jeff after the first game. I thought that they got handled easily by Carolina. They didn't generate much. They didn't defend well. The second game, they bounced back and beat them. And I thought that was okay, good. They're growing. Then they lost the first game to Columbus in a decent game. And then they came back and beat Columbus. So they went 2-2. I watched the first game, about two periods of the first game against Chicago. Chicago has more veterans right now, and they certainly have more upper-end skill with Kane and those players. Kane had a tremendous goal against them. I did not watch yesterday's game. And to be honest, I watched the Packers in Tampa game yesterday afternoon. We were here in the morning doing things and meeting as a staff and getting things together and going over video and things like that. And then I went home and watched the football. So it's going to be a work in progress. They don't have any superstars on that team. So it's going to be difficult. That's good and bad. It'd be great to have a superstar, some superstars up top, some big-time players up top that could have success and show how to have success consistently. And these guys are all learning together. So in a lot of ways, it's similar to, I would say, to where we were when we were kind of that first year. And you know the turmoil it causes. That first year when our young class kind of took it over. And in fairness to them, we allowed them to really play through a lot of mistakes, and there was a lot of growing pains, and you see what happened with that, where others, you know, it created an animosity within the team, because we knew that we had going forward that where we were at and what we had to do. It's much better when you're in a scenario where you can turn it over and keep filling people in, such as Mankato's doing. Mankato's, I say it all the time, they have guys that would be starting in the top echelon of every team in our league, every team, not just some of the teams, but every team in our league, and they can't get in the lineup in Mankato because they've established the type of player they want, they've established the hierarchy of what they want. And when the players get in there, the only way they're getting in is by performing that way. When you're building the program, you're starting somewhere. And that's where the Red Wings are right now. They're building and trying to get those guys to grow into that. A little different than when Bowman went in there and they started turning the corner and things. They had Yzerman and those guys that were superstars that could lead the way. And then they filtered in some winning players along with them, such as Shanahan and brought in the Russian Five and did some things, then grew some of those guys like Fedorov and Kozlov, but they brought in Fetisov and they brought in Larionov to show them the way, those guys that had won Olympic golds and were already star NHL players. So they're doing it from the ground on up. You see what a difference one guy made, because they were terrible the first night, and then they put Bobby Ryan in, a proven NHL player. He scores the first goal, and then they're pretty good with him in the lineup. So one or two of those guys mean a big deal, but they got to be the right one or two guys to make things turn the corner, to get that thing going in the right direction. So it's going to be a process for them. And as these young guys learn, hopefully there's no shortcuts, but the thing is they're going to be able to play through it. So a lot of guys are going to be able to play through a lot of mistakes, and the accountability factor sometimes is a little bit more lenient and maybe doesn't necessarily overall help the total development of a player. I know one thing, I guess, to kind of lock this point in. When Yzerman was playing before, he had a contract before Bowman got there. In his contract, he got bonuses for 50 goals. So if he was on a 3-on-1, all the defenders had to do really is cover Yzerman, because his bonus structure, what they wanted him to do is score goals. He was shooting. And even if he passed it, at some point, you better give it back to Stevie Y, because he's shooting. He's the guy that's supposed to get those goals. That wasn't the same case when Bowman went there. It was about winning as a team, shortening your shifts, and doing it as a group. And so that's the difference in the mentality of a championship culture and a growing or non-championship culture.
Another question for you. With an extended road trip coming up, how difficult will the roster be to put together? And can you change players at all while you're away from home?
That's a very good question. I've actually submitted to the league request to enhance our travel roster. I want to bring more guys with us for a couple of reasons, for practice purposes and to be able to give us some variety in our lineup and keep guys growing, especially with exhibition games at Huntsville during this trip. So we have extended games. It could be a 2-week trip. We're going to Bowling Green, then we're going to Huntsville, and then we're going to Ferris for one game on a Tuesday, then going to Huntsville for two, then coming back the next Tuesday for a game at Ferris, a league makeup game. So we've asked to allow them to ask for an expanded roster for that purpose, because this is something that isn't normally scheduled. We're doing makeup games during this trip and won't be traveling back here to pick up players.
All right, we'll take a quick break. Be back with more of the Joe Schottauer right after this.
This is John Nelson, your Edward Jones Financial Advisor. It's time for some New Year's resolutions. Don't overreact to events. This spring, the market plunged, but patient investors were rewarded when the markets bounced back. Also, be prepared. Events like the pandemic are obviously rare, but it's never a bad idea to have an emergency fund. These aren't the only financial resolutions you can make, but following these may help you develop habits that could benefit you in 2021 and beyond. Give me a call at 482-8680. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
Introducing Budweiser Zero. 0% alcohol, 0 grams of sugar, full Budweiser flavor. For all the moments you want a beer and need to stay on your game. Budweiser Zero. 0 alcohol, 0 compromise.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/news. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job in ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Welcome back to the Joe Schottauer here on Mix 93. We might sign off a little bit early here today just to give a little extra time for Coach and myself as the Huskies are getting ready to head down to Marquette a little bit later on today for that 5:07 drop of the puck. You'll be able to hear all the action here on Mix 93 WKMJ. And before we talk about the matchup today, Coach, I wanted to get your thoughts on the Packers-Buccaneers game. Tom Brady going to his 10th Super Bowl and trying to win, I believe, his 7th. I know you're a big fan of the way he does things. And what were your thoughts on that big game yesterday?
It was impressive. It was impressive. I think they made some great changes in Tampa. They brought in Fortney, I believe his name is, from Chicago. I think that was a great addition to them. I don't know if he came from Chicago, but he played in Chicago, so he's a cold weather type of guy. Maybe they may have felt that to get to the Super Bowl, they were going to need not only talent, but talent that could perform in all types of adverse situations. Brady certainly can play in the cold. He did that yesterday. I thought it was a good football game. You know, the Packers got their turnovers, got those three straight interceptions, turned it into only 7 points. If they could have put some more points on the board. I was a little bit surprised, not questioning the coach, that they didn't go for the touchdown and the 2-point conversion on that fourth down play. If they didn't get it, they still had Tampa deep in their zone, like inside the 10-yard line, with a chance of coming down and getting it again. They would have had two opportunities at getting a touchdown and the 2-point conversion. It was an 8-point game, but I mean, it's not for me to question. I'm just kind of thinking the way I would have done some things. But I'm not a football guy, so, and those guys certainly make their money. It was an entertaining game, fun to watch, and it makes another great matchup in a quarterback situation with Mahomes and Brady, so it'll be a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, it really does make for an interesting Super Bowl with the young quarterback and the older quarterback and Tom Brady. But it really, you keep hearing these numbers since that game was won yesterday. You know, going to his 10th. I mean, it's hard to comprehend some of the numbers that are attached to Tom Brady's career.
Yeah, I think Mahomes said it perfectly. I mean, at some point, the numbers are just gaudy. And I don't mean, I mean gaudy in the G-A-U-D-D-Y, or however you spell it. They're just over the charts. And Mahomes said it best. He said, I'm really looking forward to the matchup. It's great to have an opportunity to play against Tom Brady, who will be in his 150th Super Bowl. So, I mean, at some point it just gets ridiculous, and you just got to focus on the game. Now, the players aren't looking at all that stuff, because it really, that doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is what happens on that given day, that given Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday. So, anything else really is just, is fodder for the, you know, for the media to do their jobs.
You talk about Tom Brady, and, you know, we were talking a little bit about this over the weekend, too. Of course, Mike Zuke, former Husky, being named to the all-decade team for the 1970s. And, his numbers are just ridiculous at Michigan Tech. So far ahead of anybody that's, you know, Bob Dalvis, or at almost 100 points better than him. And we really likened it to, you know, the Wayne Gretzky, Jaromir Jagr situation there, where I think you had mentioned on your show last year, whenever it was that Jagr took over at second place there with all the points, that he felt this is first place because Wayne Gretzky's numbers are so astronomical that, and it's so far beyond anybody else, that he felt like he had achieved first place and Gretzky's in a different league. And it's kind of almost the same thing with Mike Zuke and almost the same thing with Tom Brady in a way.
It is. You're absolutely right. And then you can even throw in there, you know, Hank Aaron, who just passed away this week. You know, that some guys, so things aren't always for them. You look at Tom Brady, whatever. I mean, if you watch some YouTube for just fun, his combine performance, as far as the, you know, he isn't, and neither was Wayne Gretzky. Neither was, I face to face with Wayne Gretzky on, you know, in competition, and I mean, he's not a great skater, slender, not a great shot, not a great lot of things, but the greatest, you know. So it's crazy how some people can perform like that. It's something within them, within their mind, within the way they're wired that makes them different and innovative. And those players, you got to kind of sit back. Sometimes we've talked about this before. Sometimes you just have to sit and listen to athletes. As long as they're within the team structure and the team confines, just kind of see, okay, learn from them, I guess is the best way to put it. Sometimes you have to learn from your athletes, again, within the team constraints, the team, for the growth of the team. Because the ones that think outside the box and off the charts are the ones that change the world.
All right, Coach. Well, let's talk about the big matchup tonight. The Huskies taking on Northern Michigan to finish off this weekend series at 5:07. We're on a six-game winning streak right now, but Northern really had some really good performances on Saturday's game. And the guy that really stuck out in that game. Again, we've seen him play well against us before, was Gontuz. And, you know, he seemed at times that we really couldn't seem to... he's got that water bug mentality out there and ability out there to hang on to the puck and create a lot of offense with his speed. Obviously he's one of the guys that we're working on, but what are some of the things we need to do better, defensively, even though we didn't give up a goal, but what can we do better defensively to keep their shots? You know, we don't want to give up 32 shots or whatever it was.
Yeah, well, they're going to get their shots. What I really focus on is the scoring chances, and the scoring chances were held down, and that's the important thing. There's teams that are going to put shots at the net and generate that, but it really, the focus is on the scoring chances and keeping that down. We gave up, I believe it was 11 or 12 on the game on Saturday, on Saturday. We can live with that on in any game, regardless of the shot totals. 11 or 12 scoring chances, we can certainly live with. That's going to keep us in most hockey games. So I thought we did well there. We're going to need to transition the puck better. We're going to need to break out cleaner. We're going to need to create more pressure on the forecheck overall and turn that into offense. So every part of our game is going to need to be better. Our power play is going to need to be better. We scored on a broken play in the first, and then we had a 7-minute, took a couple minutes off of that. That's a good stat. I'd like to see a stat of how many times when a team has a 5-minute power play, they're given a penalty. That stat would be one that I'd like to see, because it's an uncanny number of, it's almost like an even up. It's an uncanny number of how often a 5-minute major is cut short and you don't get the full 5 minutes. But we have to get better on that. We had a 7-minute power play there and didn't generate really much at all. But some of that, again, was personnel. We were looking for some guys to step up, without some key players in Paratino and Bliss out, that really are mainstays on the power play. They're out for the game, so other guys had a chance to step in and show what they can do and make their way. And in some ways, some did, and in some ways, some didn't so much.
And one question I forgot to ask you, Coach, had you ever seen a major penalty and a minor penalty called at two different instances on the same play on the same guy?
I have. Yeah, I've seen that. I've seen that several times. But what we were wondering, and the referees were confused on as well, they're two separate incidences. So should those not be, they weren't on the same infraction is the point I'm trying to make.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't on the same, they were at, one was being called, and then the other one was called at the end of the play.
Right.
Now I've seen normally where that happens, and often it's after a whistle. This was not after a whistle, where that's been two minor penalties and someone else serves the minor, and it's 5-on-3, and that's what we were questioning. And really, to be honest with you, I haven't checked into clarification on that, because that's what we were asking for. But the linesman actually was adamant that it's just a 7-minute power play, and that guy serves the whole 7. So that's what we stood with.
All right, Coach. Well, you mentioned the players that were out on Saturday. Will Paratino, will Trenton Bliss, will Blake Pietola be back in the lineup?
Yeah, they all will. We're going to play them all tonight, because it's important for us moving forward. This is a non-conference game, and it's extremely important for us moving forward. We want to get Blake back in the net. We couldn't ask more than the goaltending performance we got out of Mark. But we've done this before. Blake got a shutout. We lost Mark because we felt we needed to get him going and keep it back. So I think we've had 4 shutouts on the year. So if we keep, you know, we have to make sure that we're keeping our goaltending position strong. In talking to Jamie, we both felt that this was the right thing to do, to get us ready to go into Bowling Green. Then we'll make a decision. We'll start the first game in Bowling Green. And then Blister and Paratino will be right back in there. And, you know, neither of those guys have practiced, fully. They've been kind of inched back in on this return to play protocol. So, we're hoping that, it'll be a growth in progress for them as the game goes on, and we're hoping they get support until they can get their legs under them.
A lot of hockey, Coach, in the next couple of weeks, and it's going to be fun, but it'll be interesting how everybody paces themselves and how you as a coaching staff, are able to deal with the midweek games and everything, because it is a bit unusual for us on the Western conferences. The East conferences do this all the time, but we don't do this very often out here.
Yeah, it's actually going to be fun. It's going to be enjoyable. The timing of it's good. We'll do a travel day on Saturday after Huntsville, and then on Sunday we'll travel a little bit more and get in time to watch the Super Bowl and have a good practice Monday, and then play on Tuesday. So it'll actually be enjoyable. We're looking forward to it.
All right, Coach, we really appreciate your time. We'll look forward to the game tonight. Again, 4:30 pregame here on Mix 93, and the Huskies take it on the Northern Michigan Wildcats, and Michigan Tech on a 6-game winning streak trying to extend that, but it won't be easy down at the Berry Event Center. So make sure you tune on in. We'll have it all for you here on Mix 93. That is the Joe Schonauer here on Mix 93 WKMJ.